Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard with us tonight. This is June the 11th, and we're moving right along in time. We're live and direct tonight on Truth Radio, and appreciate you coming in with us tonight to set in on the teachings of the Shepherd's Call. We got a great message, we believe, lined up for you. We're going to talk about the seven sacred letters, or the seven sacred steps. We would like to refer to it as dimensions or substances that make up the temple of Yahweh. We're going to first type it out in the natural, then we will relate it to the spiritual in the second half here. Now, there are 21 vessels in the temple. If you count them, those that were put in the temple in 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 2, and Exodus 25, 1 and 9, you can get the list of the vessels, the golden flowers, the golden tongs, the golden bowls, the golden snuffers, the golden snuff dishes, the golden spoons, the golden censers, the golden flesh hooks, and the golden cups, the golden basins, the golden chargers, and the golden shields. Isn't it? Wonderful that there are 12 items in the goal listing, 12 being perfection before the Father, and goal is the supreme metal of conductor back into the precious metals. It is probably the most precious of all metals. And here it is, there is 12 items. And do you think that that was by chance, or do you think it was by design, by the eternal creator who knew the purposes of putting the vessels in order? Well, let's look at the silver. There were silver basins, and there were silver chargers, only two. Well, you know what? Silver is used as the redemption, and there were two covenants for redemption. One was the Mosaical covenant, and he found fault in it, and because it wasn't pure gold. And the second one was the covenant that was given to the apostolic fathers when the Messiah himself come as the redemptive blood shed. And all these vessels are to minister to the Father in the temple where the blood was shed. Now, the 15th item, and of course the two recognize 12 of the golden vessels and two silver makes a total of 14, and two sevens is a double witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses of completeness, let every word be established. Now, verse 15. It's ironic that the 15th item that is what we're going to talk about is number 15, it is brazen vessels. Now, 5 and 1 is 6, and 6 is the number of man. And so then, man stands before the Holy One, impure. He is a brazen vessel. He must be reworked, retooled, if you will, and reshaped. And brazen is the hardness of the flesh man in his heart as he stands before God in his man's likeness. So then, man has got a long way to go in his original state to return back to the Father and back to the throne. Now, number 16 was the brazen pots. Number 17, the brazen shovels. And number 18, the knives. And number 19, iron tools and nails. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the iron tools were used for the doors and gates of the temple. Have you ever heard of the old saying, a nail in the coffin? These were iron, and iron is a symbol of hardness of heart, if you will, in the reference to what we're going to talk about tonight in the seven precious layers of the temple. Now remember, 1 Corinthians 3:17, you are the temple. What? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And he that defileth the temple, him shall God destroy. Now God's looking for a place to dwell in your heart, your temple. The inner being, or the place of the sanctuary that is prepared in these flesh vessels, if you will, and we're going to really examine them and pull away the layers of these seven, actually seven layers or dimensions of thought as we head toward the high country with the Father. Now, if we were to start backwards, we could do that, but we'll start in order of just like we gave you the 21 items. Now, here we get a double witness again. The last two items that's listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 14 through 17, the priest's chambers had the silver lampstands. And then the silver tables used in the chambers by the priest. Now, these were overlaid with silver. Isn't it amazing that the Father designed the temple and the items that were placed in the temple in a series of three sevens? 21 being complete, a triple witness that his temple must be complete before he comes to dwell. Now, in the New Testament, the temple must be cleansed before he comes to dwell, for it is stated, God, Yahweh, will not dwell in an unclean temple. Now your heart needs to be examined. The Bible said, examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. How do you come toward him? How do you approach him in relationship to where he is? Now, where he is where you can go in the flesh man. The flesh man must be defeated. It must be completely, if you will, killed. Now, this is the outward sacrifice. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the presence of God, which is a reasonable service. So then, your job is to crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. Yes, it is a painful, very painful, involved process, and we are going to show you that these numerous vessels which were used in the house of Yahweh and the charge of his to his people from the service and the temple priesthood of Isaiah 52:11, be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. Be you clean, or be you holy, for I am holy. Now, he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And when we say God, we use it in a term befitting the language of the day for understanding. We don't use the term God. If you use it or spell it backwards in the Hebrew from right to left, it would be dog. And so, but we use the term God for your sake. It is in the Hebrew Elohim, or El, as we are used to saying, the El, the singular, the one, the mighty, the only, the true, the living one, praise only, the eternal. And he that cometh to him must choose him as a vessel unto honor. Now, what about those that are chosen to be in his house? Vessels fit for honor. Now, we know that there's vessels made for dishonor. Isn't that strange? If the gospel's hid, it's hid to the dishonored. The Bible said, straight is the way, now is the gate, and the few there be that find it. So then, the Bible said to press toward the mark. Ladies and gentlemen, to get through the veil of the flesh man. It is like iron and brass, which is based in the scriptures, and we will see as we go down through the seven substances that are listed to make up the temple, and there are seven. Now, we're going to start with the seventh and work toward the first one. Now, the seventh item in the house of Yahweh was timber. It had to be a chosen timber, and in the timbers, it was in the house of Moses, it was shittim or acacia wood. That was the only two woods that were permitted into the tabernacle of Moses. Now, when Solomon built his temple through the instructions of Yahweh by David, who had divine guidance or for the materials list, remember David was a man of war. David settled every issue that Yahweh had with his enemies. And then the Bible said Yahweh gave David peace round about from his enemies. And then David died not being permitted to build the temple of peace because David was a man of war. Now, what does that symbolize, Pastor Buddy? It symbolizes that the first man, you must declare war against yourself. You must learn to conquer yourself. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is not out there. The enemy is you. And the greatest enemy that Jacob Israel has is itself. There's no other known predator that can attack or destroy Jacob Israel except Jacob Israel. Destruction has to come from within the house. If this house is to be destroyed, because Yahweh set it up on a permanent foundation, the Bible said again, he that defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. The only destroying force in the earth or in the heavens that is designed to destroy you is the power of yourself. Now the Bible says it gives you clear indications that you have a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. If you're going to serve Mammon, the world, or to get ahead, and pursue the mammon and things of that nature and waste all your time. It's not a sin to be rich. It is not a sin to be blessed by the Holy Father. Those that are blessed and serve the Father are eternally blessed. Those that are blessed and let the blessings override them and take them away from serving the Father and his appointed causes are unwise stewards of the Master's blessings that are given. If you're blessed to use your monetary gain for the furtherance of the kingdom, for those less fortunate than yourself to hear or to preach or to extol or to enlarge the gospel abroad. In other words, if you can be a witness to save yourself, as a witness to the Father, if you save yourself, you do well. But if you save others, you're wise. Now invest in someone's future and show them how to build their temple. Give them instructions into the Word. Now, notice there are five materials that are used in the temple building. Proper. There were metals of gold, silver, and brass in the Exodus 25 temple. Three precious metals, gold, silver, and brass. Now, I told you that brass was a symbol of man. Silver is a symbol of Christ, the revealed, and gold is the symbol of the eternal Father. Isn't that amazing? There are three things that bear witness in the earth. Water, blood, and spirit, three things that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the Father is symbol of gold. The Son manifested, or the concealed precious element, revealed in silver. And then he came as brass. He died. He defeated his own flesh. He had to go through the temptations. And the Bible said he was tempted in all points. Now, the number two item was stones, precious gemstones. We'll get into that just in a moment. And the third was timber, the shittim or the acacia wood. And the fourth was the cloth of linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. Remember, blue, purple, and scarlet. The red, and the blue, and the purple. And the food substance was manna, and the water, and the manna was put in the censer of the Ark of the Covenant as a symbol, and the water through the laver was set there to cleanse everyone that approached the Heavenly Father in the temple. You must be clean, washed, sanctified, and that name, remember, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Father chose this building, whose building that you are, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2 that I've already gave to you, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that God chooses the materials that he uses in his own building, and for this divine structure purpose, as we go back to the house that God built it shallow, where he first, it says, where at first Yahweh put the temple and put his name there. Isn't that wonderful that God, see, go back, he says, to Shiloh, where I set my name at the first. Jeremiah 7 and 1 and verses, or chapter 16 and verse 30. Go back and see where I set my name at first and see what I did to those for their wickedness. My people, Israel. Now, my people, he said in Hosea 4 and 6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You got to come into this knowledge, and you got to pursue it as a deer would the watering brook after it's been chased by the hounds of hell or the demons of the flesh. We all have demons of the flesh. Or they tempt us. They sit on our shoulder. They talk in our ear. They tempt us in our heart. Every day we must go through these demonic demons that sit in the flesh. And Paul said, I die daily. Otherwise, the flesh man revives and the spirit man dies. If the flesh man dies, the spirit man revives. And the stronger the spirit, the weaker the flesh. The stronger the flesh, the weaker the spirit. So it's the opposites. And Satan has the advantage because most of us are carnal and sold under sin and can't understand the operation of the divine principles of the Spirit, which is our work within. It's amazing how much we must endure, and the Bible said we must, after much tribulation. What's this tribulation thing going on here? It is actually the tribulation of the flesh. But what does the Scripture say? Tribulation worketh patience. Oh my, so when the flesh man is beat down, or when the flesh man has to surrender, and he has to take upon himself the gold, silver, and the brass attributes of the Holy Father, starts out with brass, works himself up to become a son of God, and then he sits in the throne with the Father, who thought it not robbery to be equal with him. Oh, isn't it amazing that we can go in boldly to the throne of grace in the golden era, or the golden dimension, where God receives us freely, where there's no sin, where there's no wickedness, and where he says, well done, my good and faithful servants. Now, the precious gemstones. You know, I preached in this in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. It's amazing how that the gemstones and the stones that are set there, the 12, that are embedded in a body of gold. And they were attached to the heartbeat of the priest. The priest symbolizing the silver and the gems symbolizing the communication that the Father has. And you see, it's the precious stones. If you take a fine Swiss watch, the Swiss are noted to build some of the best watches on the earth. And they are fine-tuned to jewels, the precious stones. And so then, the precious stones are, jewels are communication of sound and purpose, and time is emit. If you will spell time backwards, you get emit. The stones are emitting the vibrations, and therefore they vibrate, and it causes the hands of the delicate balancers of the watch stem to beat and tick, if you will, and these vibrations are the communications of the time. Isn't it wonderful that in the English language we have the word time spelled backwards is emit? Are we not emitting the sounds of time as we go through our numbered allotted days? Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Aren't we headed toward eternity? Aren't we headed for the eternal judgment? where every man must give an account of himself toward God, where the books will be opened and the other book, the book of life, and if you have been found left in the book and not blotted out. See, every man, every woman, and every child that came out with him were on the Lamb's book. But only those that remain and are not blotted out will inherit. Remember those that were bidden to the supper but wouldn't come for one various reason or another? One had made a lame excuse. They all made lame excuses. And there were actually seven excuses made to counter the seven holy substances of the gold, the silver, the brass, the linen, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet. Isn't it wonderful? You dress up as a high priest before the Father, that you start out as a brass object, and then you work your way up to the perfection of silver, and then at last you're crowned or capped with the golden jewels of eternity to appear in the presence of Almighty Yahweh. Now, those five substances are the grace substance that we talked about last night. The metals, the stones, the timber, the cloths, and the food substances are in the temple. Now, let's go to the materials for Solomon's temple. They changed somewhat, just slightly. I'd like to explain to you the change. Gold, silver, brass, and indeed is the fourth subject, which is iron. Remember the scripture where it said that the heavens will come brass and iron? To those who break my laws and commandments, and I will turn my face from them, and the heavens will be brass. In other words, when you pray against the heavens, they will not receive your prayers. They will be brass, and then iron is an eternal substance until we repent. Then he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then shall I hear from heaven, and you must turn from your wicked ways, and then shall I hear from heaven, and heal of their land, and forgive their iniquities and their sins. So then, gold, silver, brass, and iron. A substance added in the iron, and it was the nails that David used for nailing the door post and the gates of the temple. Iron nails to hold or to secure the... Well, actually, ladies and gentlemen, what was it that nailed the Messiah as a type? The door. Yahweh said, I am the door to the sheepfold. This door was nailed, his own physical body. This brass substance was nailed with iron to the torture stake, and he endured 18 torturous hours of affliction as he hung in the torture stake position of suffering. Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. Isn't it marvelous at 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, that the substance of iron was added to the three precious metals? They didn't use silver or brass or gold spikes. They used the iron, which symbolizes the resistance of man and the resistance toward the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. They esteemed him not, but they killed him and said, away with him, give us Barabbas, a robber. It is the brassness of the flesh man who could not comprehend the spiritual revelations that the eternal silver being brought upon the earth to fallen man. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the seven divine substances of the temple. I hope and trust that you're enjoying the show tonight. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I'm coming back after the break, and we'll get into the seven substances as we are now in the timber substance. Number one in the vessel, you are a tree, a timber substance for Yah. I'll be back in two. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to Shepherd's Call. The seven precious substances or dimensional layers as we go into the spirit. We're going to give you a natural, and then we're going to take you to the spiritual realm and compare spiritual against the natural. Now, the precious gemstones were also in the building of Solomon's temple in 1 Chronicles 22. Notice now that the quarried stones, these are the rough stones that were not polished. Isn't that symbolistic of you as a stone? Isn't it symbol of the stone of Daniel that was hewed out without hands? Ladies and gentlemen, this was itself an indication that the stone would be rejected. This stone, although it became rejected, it began to come down the mountainside and it gained momentum. And the Bible said it tore down all the kingdoms and it filled the whole earth. So this great name of Yahweh, rejected by the builders in the New Testament, hidden by the false Pharisees and the false priests of Jeremiah 23, verse 25, 26, and 27. This name will be revealed in the last days through the almighty preaching of the prophets of Almighty Yahweh, the Eternal One. We're coming now upon the scene to bring in the truth, the everlasting truth of the gospel, the true name. Now, notice the wood that we're going to talk about. Now, wood is not a permanent substance. So then we will start with wood, and we're going to try to pick out the wood that would have the most resistance to rot and decay. Now, wood would symbolize then the flesh man. Let us look at the wood that was in the Temple of Solomonville. It's strange that it changes. There was two, the shittim wood or the acacia wood, that were in the temple in the wilderness where the tent was at. In the precious temple where there were huge stones to cover, there were the cedar, the fir, the algum, and the olive wood. Isn't that amazing? You have one, two, three, four woods, which you have four divine aspects of a name, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. Now, out of that wood is the cedar. Now, let's look at the cedar. And as it displays its unique characteristic, the cedars of Lebanon were choice. They were favored by Solomon and ordered by the King David to be used exclusively as a lining. And this cedar wood is known for its durability. Doesn't that give you the indication that Israel as a nation shall endure before God as long as the sun and the moon hang in the heavens? Israel as a people shall remain before himself, Yahweh, even at the cost of intervening to save us. So the cedar is the durability or the durable wood that was chosen. It also has two divine characteristics. The color of cedar is white and red. Isn't that strange that red symbolizes the blood of Jacob Israel, the blushing people of Jacob, and white as the distinctive race chosen? Now, the fir tree. Notice the fir tree is the tree of evergreen. It's an eternal tree. It doesn't die during the winter as other trees do. It remains green year-round. It is an absolute marvel, as most other trees, they go into what we call a hibernation or a death in the fall. They begin to fade. They bring forth their colors, and then they fade, and then their leaves fall back to the ground. As the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. And so is the leaf that comes from it. We're just like the leaves or the branches that are upon the vine, and the Father said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But it's everlasting. Yahweh's people are eternal beings. Isn't that amazing? Now, the algum tree, what is unique about it? It has a resonance about it. It is used for a lot of purposes, but it is a tree that will give off a resonance. It will give off vibration. And it is used for those purposes, praise Yahweh. And now the olive tree. Did you know that the olive tree is one of the most ancient of all trees? That actually the olive trees that were standing 2,000 years ago in the time of Christ are still standing? Isn't it amazing that the olive tree is the only tree to describe Israel? You say, well, I thought it was the fig tree, Pastor Buddy. No, it's Romans 11 will tell you that, and people say, well, you see, Pastor Buddy, we're the olive tree, the wild olive tree, and we're going to be grafted back into the fig tree, which is the Jews. Ain't what it says. It says, we shall be grafted back into the original root or the stump, which was the olive tree. Now, we are the olive tree. Oh, it's marvelous. Praise Yahweh. That is in the Heavenly Father's presence forever. Now, as we go to the cloth now, there are again four cloths, and they remain the same. Isn't it strange that the cloths remain the same? It is a type of a veil of the flesh, the linen, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet, and all these were displayed in the emotional spectre of man's emotions. So then, the corn, the wine, and the oil replace the manna and the water. Corn, wine, and oil. It is strange that we have, again, these substances, the three substances, there are three substances, and when they opened up his side upon the torture stake as they nailed him with the iron nails to his torture stake, they opened up his side, and out came blood, water, and spirit. These are the three things that bear record from the earth substance to the three heavenly things that are set into the heavens. Now, let's go again to the timber. And the timber, trees in Scripture point also to Christ and the church. Remember, I told you the aspects of the trees. But trees are not eternal. They fall back to the earth, and as a tree falls, so shall it lie. And be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, that's number seven. Let's start and go back toward number one. Stones is number six. Six is the number of man, and you are the stones. Every man is a stone with the stones within himself. You are plural, male and female aspects of your stones. He that is wounded in the stones shall not enter the congregation. And that's strange, but if you were not capable of bringing forth or reproducing seed, you were not allowed into the temple, because the Bible said, my people are lively stones, meaning that they're able to reproduce and bring forth in the image and attributes of the Holy Father. Isn't it amazing that the quarried stones, they were cut out of the mountain? Just like Daniel saw the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and for the building of the temple and for the exterior, these stones were brought from the quarries, and we, like stones, are being quarried, cut with the gospel, the sword of the gospel, when it pierces or cuts us out of the mountain and separates us, and it begins a precious work. And in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter talked about a precious stone. Oh my, how precious are the feet of them that preach the glad tidings of joy and bring the good things of revelation to light to the sons of Yah. Now, after we use the exterior stones, which are quarried, then we move up to the number five. It's the grace of the gemstones. Precious stones used in the temple, in the walls, as well in the garment of the high priest. In particular, the breastplate of judgment speaks of the vast gifts of the Spirit, the glories of the saints, and the preciousness of Yahweh's people and their righteous acts, according to Revelations 21, verses 18 through 20, and 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 17. I've already quoted to you and indicated that we are the precious stones. Now, you see, from stones quarried, cut out, then we must have the polishing. So is the flesh man, the timber, when he's born into this earth, he begins to grow or to reproduce in spiritual thoughts and substance recognized as the stones of reproduction. Then we begin to polish and perfect ourselves in the presence of Almighty God through the grace that was established and given to us in the number five situation that God has prepared for them that love and serve Him. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve Him, and all the precious promises for you to press toward the mark in a high calling, for there is a reward on the other side, not many here, but let us say this, we labor in perfection here. We start out as a rough, unhewn timber, we become hewn, and we begin posted as a temporary being in the timber. We're here for an appointed time, and just like timber, it begins to decay slowly, and then stones is a memorial. Our seed endures forever as an offspring after us. Then we begin to polish ourselves in the presence of Almighty God, and then in the fourth substance, iron is likened with brass. We begin to be as Christ after we are grown up, or we reach maturity in the place of the precious gemstones of God, then we are put into the iron furnace of the heat of Satan to prove us. And iron is often likened unto the symbolic strength of endurance. It's a test. And the Bible said, "Behold, I will try you. Everyone that receiveth the anointing or the revelation or the quickening of the Spirit, get ready for the trials and the temptations, for Satan is going to come down and he's going to try you as gold in the final essence will be tried in the fire. So then, get ready for your journey into the furnace of fire, where you will be tried with the temptations and with the problems and the afflictions that Satan can heap upon you. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You be it sure for one thing, if you haven't enjoyed this present life, it won't last long. But if you do, know this, if you live, Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, it's Christ. So preach the gospel and season it out, and whether you live or whether you die, to die is gain. And death, where is your victory? You cannot conquer that which is born in the perfected state of the precious seven steps of the conscious state that we reach when we receive Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, let's go quickly over to chapter Numbers 21, verse 5. And then, brass is especially noted in both the tabernacle and the temple. And notice in a burning furnace in Revelations 1 and verse 12, it speaks about we would be tried. And it also says the feet of Christ. That's the anointed beings that are now in Christ's stead. You see, now, He was the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world, and your feet must walk as His feet walked, as brass burning in a furnace. This earth is a furnace of fire. You must come through the fire as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And they said, whether it be right in the king's eyes or not, we will not bow or we will not worship a music that is not in the dimensional realm of the Heavenly Father. You see, when they heard the flute play, everyone was to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, and as the same one that Daniel saw in the kingdom, this four-headed kingdom, this fourth beast, as it was noted, had a head of gold, silver, brass, and iron. Isn't that ironic? That she tried to type herself after the divine substance in the temple of Yahweh? There is a way that seemeth right. There are people that almost would persuade you that they got the right message, and they do miracles in names that you know is not correct. Ladies and gentlemen, be not far removed from the gospel, but stand fast, because knowing that everything that shakes is not Yahweh, everything that looks like gold is not. There is a fool's gold, and many grab it and run with a substitute rather than waiting on the real thing. Now let's go into the third substance, as we now displayed the iron substance, the third substance will be brass. It's found to be symbolic of judgment against sin. You've got to overcome it, ladies and gentlemen, against self. And the Holy Spirit is titled the Spirit of Judgment and the Spirit of Burning, as it is noted in Isaiah 4 and 4. So then you must go through the furnace, as Zechariah said, and you are to become as those who are noted in both the tabernacle and temple and the respective outer courts. You got to move to the inward, because brass is a substance that has to be dealt with and molten down, if you will, melted down and changed into the brass molten sea, where you become one of the precious substances as we remove up to substance number two, which is silver. It is used as a symbolic redemption or atonement and the ransom money that was paid for Christ, which was 30 pieces of silver, reduced to three. The three witnesses that are noted in the scriptures, three things in heaven and three things in earth. So silver, 30 pieces, was a symbolic of the precious symbolic redemption or the atonement price that was paid. Isn't it wonderful that silver was used for the ransom? That we had a kinsman redeemer? And that he redeemed all of the bride or the house of Israel for the atonement purposes by paying the substance of silver for the redeeming factor? Isn't it wonderful that in Zechariah chapter 11, we notice that like Joseph, he himself sold by his brethren for silver pieces, Christ himself as a type of Joseph, as the offspring of the tribe of Ephraim, he would come into the world to purpose to give his life a ransom as a symbolic redemption and atonement as he shed his own blood. And the silver substance is the precious covering of the outer court. He covered those without. Oh my, we're going to move up to number one. I'm very excited about this. I've got to hurry. In both the Old and the New Testament, we find that gold speaks to us of the deity, of the divine nature of the mighty God, the glory of God in his holiness. Gold was always symbolized as deity, even in heathen adulterous feasts, which corrupted the truth that God gave to Israel. This metal was precious, especially used in the holiest of all, as well as in the utensils listed that I've done give you, the 12 items of gold. Yahweh, knowing the perfection of the government that he placed in the temple, knowing that the final place of the ark was overlaid with gold, and it was wood symbolizing that the flesh man would turn to gold, as death the moth, and as it is the caterpillar to the butterfly stage of a metamorphosis of the change of the nature of man into divine godhood. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my message tonight. Praise y'all. And it's up to you to decide where Pastor Buddy's got any truth tonight that would convince you that there's a better place for you to go according to the recipe that we give you. And we teach you that the divine covenant name for Jacob Israel is Yahweh. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Mighty One, the Eternal One. He's soon coming to gather up the stones for those who have recorded to tell you exactly at the moment what the Holy Spirit is dealing with us in. And you know the Holy Spirit moves from phase to phase of operation into the layer of the consciousness to the divine being. So if you're listening in tonight, there was a reason. The Father wanted you to listen in tonight that you might get some more understanding on the seven levels of the consciousness that it takes to perfection, to the gold standard that Yahweh will weigh you, and hopefully you will not be found weighed in the balances and found wanting. A lot of folks will, and remember, the Bible said those that were bitten would not taste of his supper because they refused to come. Are you prepared tonight as the temple of Yahweh? Are you in his presence to stand as pure gold, tried in the fire? Well, ladies and gentlemen, time is coming down. Wonderful to be with you tonight. I really enjoyed the message with you tonight. Praise Yahweh, and Yahweh richly bless you. Thank you.
thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.